What is going on? We are back. We are here today to discuss some more Baltimore Ravens news, things going on around the NFL and sports in general.
Okay.
It don't sound like you want to talk about that.
Well, I thought it was just a Ravens show, but now you keep like adding topics so that we stay here longer every week. And I don't understand, but it's whatever. It's not for me to understand, I guess.
Sorry. It is for you to understand. You know, sometimes I sit back and I think to myself, today, or this is the week Rodney's going to give his input.
I'm not. You've never asked for my input.
Okay. I just figured as a co-host.
That's a title.
I thought we was Game of Thrones in it. Like it is known. Like
the title was thrust upon me. I didn't.
False.
Yeah. No. Very true. How you doing, Endo?
I'm well on yourself. How you been?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Me too. I feel better now. Like after you know, my cathartic talk with everybody. Well, not everybody, just the patrons.
Good.
I feel like weight lifted.
I feel a little worse than earlier because tomorrow's Monday again. And it just seems like every time I get to the weekend, there's a Monday coming up right after it. Now I don't understand.
But the time is just going by so fast.
Yeah.
It's not I will say that Friday, it's like Friday around about 7 o'clock-ish. You know, we start feeling that, okay, the weekend's here. We can kind of shut down from work. And then for some reason, you blink in a Saturday morning, and next thing you know, we're doing a show, getting ready for work right. The next day.
Yeah. I don't like it. It's awful. It's awful.
Right. Uh-oh.
What?
All right. That's just Jose's comment. So, you know, let's just jump into this. Because we do not have a long show, we don't have a lot to talk about today. Yes. Today is not going an hour and a half. I promise you that.
Favorite show. All right, let's go.
I promise you, it's not an hour and a half today. We're going to zip through everything. We're going to go through it and get out of here because I got stuff to do. I'm feeling better, but I'm not feeling well.
But a lot of filibustering going on. Let's get to it.
Listen, this is not a race. It's a marathon.
We're gonna get to the optimism I just had.
But
seems to have evaporated. your marathon comment.
All right.
I don't know if you know this, but the marathon is the longest race. It takes forever.
Yeah, but we don't have a time limit on this race. We're not out to win. We're just out to finish. Okay. It sounds good to you.
I'm about to win every time I'm on here, but that's just me. Maybe I'm just different. But let's go.
Let's go. All right. Well, let's see who we got in the chat. Listen.
Yeah. Chat.
For some just reason, I just feel like every week nobody's going to show up because it's Sunday evening. People are relaxed and getting ready because people are getting ready for the work the next day. Sunday, it's no football going on. I just feel like nobody's going to show
you know
up.
You know how you get ready for work the next day? By pretending you're not working the next day. That's how you get through Sunday night.
Maybe I should
face that realization until that alarm goes off Monday morning.
Maybe I should take off tomorrow. sounds good?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm not. All right, let's see who we got in the chat. We got Saint in the house. What's going on? Jose, what's up? Talking about big news. Yes, we got big news going on with the Ravens. You are going to want to stick around and find out what that big news is. Mm-hmm. This is big news every time we put out a video. Big Reg, what's going on? You changed your name? You took off the Living Big with Big Reg portion? Or was that just me? Am I tripping?
He did change it.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to tell us, Reg?
Right. We notice. We got Osmond in the house. What's going on? Sorry, hello Osmond. To you as well. Life with Yolanda. What's going on? Yolanda. Good evening.
Hey, also, Yolanda, you want to be in our Dynasty Football League? Let me know.
Interesting. Also, Yolanda has her Ravens Talk with Yolanda. So make sure you go over there and subscribe. We got Brandon Buck in the house. Brandon is a big-time hater.
Let me ask you this, Buck. Why am I a hater? Because I told you the second they brought in Kevin Durant that was not going to be a championship team. And then when they brought in Bradley Beal, I told you, no, they're still not a championship team. And now months and months later, when you and everyone else realizes they're not a championship team, I'm a hater for saying they're going to lose?
I mean, this is true. Sure, but Jose got the right idea. He says, I feel like we need to get the ski mask, and we may save that for the round table tomorrow.
I don't understand why Yolanda put that last word on her response.
Which one?
Oh my god,
what you? I'm sorry, you have the ability.
Sure, I'd love to be a part of it. Yeah, oh, okay, never mind. It looked
you read it wrong. It looked different.
When I glanced at it, it looked like it said fool. I was like, that's uncalled for. But I apologize, Yolanda. I read that incorrectly. But I will get you set up as soon as we are done here. Which, according to Hendo, is going to be very, very soon.
Very soon. Like, we did half the show just now.
Jose, we need one person for the Dynasty League, and now we need zero.
What's going on, Danity? Really? Because I think I need two people for my league.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So if you want to
be on, league is full.
No.
Are you kicking people out?
I'm not kicking people out. But you know the one dude that just wasn't active the whole season.
Yeah. I know.
He's got to go, and then it's another one that he think he's slick, but he gotta go too. People just don't realize I pay attention to everything, bro.
Ain't about the slicksters. All right.
Ain't about the slicksters. Just be honest. Be honest with me. You know what I mean? So, Yolanda, if you want to join my league as well, you can get two opportunities to win. And I'm not going to hold it against you. I know that your brother's going to help you. I'm not going to hold it against you. You know, Brad and I, we used to watch a TV show called The League. And it was a guy who came close to winning. And his wife would just do his team for him. And they made fun of him. It is what it is. It's all about winning. It's all about getting one of these.
That's right.
Hold up.
You don't want to end up like that guy, though.
You don't want to end up like him.
Don't put on the second. Listen. Bring up the topic, and let's go.
Back to back, baby. And about to be a third one. I don't know if the third one's going to go here or the third one's going to go here.
The third one has to go on the other hand.
Does it really?
Yeah,
because I want to be like Jordan and take the picture and fill it up and just be sitting. Bill Russell, I'm just gonna have
that's just for the one. That's just for the one picture. Like he won't wear them like that all the time.
I don't wear them like this. I just
gotta balance it out.
Okay, so I guess the next one I'll go with the ring finger on the left hand.
There you go.
Okay, so Yolanda, you're signed up. We still need one more person for my league, I believe.
What were you close to last year, Reg? What?
He was close in the middle of the season. Then he just remembered to himself that I am large Reginald and I'm not going to win. And then he went back to his proper place in third or fourth place. And then, you know,
you know what I said, man? Self-awareness is the greatest skill.
Self-actualization. Yes. Yes. But let's jump into these topics because like I said, we're not going to be here all night. This is only going to be maybe a half hour show if it takes us this long. So that doesn't mean run through your comments, Bryony, or don't say anything at all. Because I know how you get. Like you're just trying to do anything to minimize.
How do I get? Go ahead and tell me about myself, Hendo.
If I say to you, we're only going to be here half an hour, you will sit there and answer a question like, yeah, I believe that too.
I'm giving you my honest opinions because you've already set the time at 30 minutes. But go ahead.
There is no time set. We're going to do it
completion. Bring up the topic. Every week now, every week it's a fight to get the first topic on the screen.
Because
we are almost 10 minutes in.
Because you got to have the banter. You just can't jump in and just do the video immediately.
A lot of video.
You know? Yeah. Okay, it's a live stream, which is going to become a video.
Okay.
More people are going to see it in video form than they are in live stream form. I hope. And as a matter of fact, I think I'm going to release today's episode of Hanging with Hendo to the public.
Nice.
I think I'm going to release that. Maybe it'll help somebody. Sure. I don't know.
I think you should.
You know, I don't want people seeing me getting all emotional. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What's up, Duan? Yeah, we don't have time constraints. It's Sunday evening. We ain't got nothing to do. Some of us don't have to be to work for another 16 hours. 15 hours?
Start early.
Some of us don't have to get up at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. Some of us actually can get up at like 10 a.m. to go to work. So,
well, you know, some of us can get up at 10:56, but they still don't want to be here all night.
This is facts. We can't get up at 10:56. We actually can get up at like 10:58.
I like to have a little margin for error, you know.
Facts. Sometimes the computer be on some BS and it won't let me log in. So, you know, you got to have those few extra minutes in there. But let's get this show started so Brodney can do whatever it is that he plans on doing.
Thank you.
Just nothing. All right. Let's jump into this first topic. So the first topic that we're going to discuss is, are the Baltimore Ravens really all in on Lamar Jackson? Do you feel like that the Ravens front office has done enough for Lamar Jackson. Now, earlier in the last luncheon, early last week, EDC said, if you're not all in, you're all out. And he's been that way since he's been the general manager of the Ravens. Now, for me personally, I don't think, and you know, some of you may feel a different way, I don't feel like that EDC in the front office has been all in on Lamar. They believe that bringing in all of these defenders is the way to help Lamar. Now, I did a short yesterday chronicling all of the picks that picks that EDC had made, free agents, just people that they brought in to kind of help Lamar. And I did it to DMX is what they really want.
DMX, man, it's gonna want to check that out too.
Y'all gonna check out this show. I thought it was kind of funny. And actually, I still have my list, and it was a lot of names on there, and I still have some names that are unchecked. So I could have kept going, but we ran out of names. You know what I'm saying? It was Lisa, Leticia, Brenda, Felicia. Like, it, you know, it, and I still have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I still have like 9 names left that I could have added to this list. Right. So to me, I don't feel like Eric DaCosta is really all in. I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens is really all in. They realized in 2019 that they had this product on the field that they weren't expecting. Because nobody can tell me that they believe that Lamar Jackson would morph into what he morphed into when they brought him in 2018. And he showed this different side. Most other coaches and most other organizations would have gone in and said, duh, wasn't expecting this. Rookie deal, league MVP in his first year starting. Let's build around him and see what we can do with this. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen was not a league MVP, and they went out and did this anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, they even got targets for Jared Goff. And Jared Goff is nowhere on the level of Lamar Jackson. So for the Ravens and organization to say that they are going all in, I don't feel like I can really count on you and believe what you're doing, especially what has happened up until now. I can't speak about what's going to happen in the future, but up until now, this offseason has been, to me, a slight disappointment. So how do you feel about this, Bradley?
Yeah, they haven't been all in on Lamar at any point in his career. Right now, you're looking at a team that doesn't have, well, we'll be generous and say doesn't have a number two wide receiver and doesn't have starters at three spots on the offensive line. So I don't know how you could even begin to pretend to make the argument that they've been all in. The offseason's not over yet. You know, and there were rumors out there today about what Baltimore may be interested in doing. But as Jose likes to say, Baltimore's always interested. They just don't ever get anything done. So, no, I can't say until they go out and show it. I still do not believe that they believe in Lamar Jackson as a passer. That's been my opinion since the beginning, because why would you have this guy, Greg Roman, for several seasons if you believed in him as a passer?
Right.
And, you know, I just don't think that they do. I think they believe he's a great player. I think they don't believe he's a great quarterback.
True.
And that's just kind of the way it looks to me with the way they've built the offense or haven't built the offense around it.
Yeah. They say the right things. And I think I read something on X, Twitter, whatever, the other day talking about, oh, you know, we need to keep John Harbaugh as long as possible. The players love him. He always says the right things. I don't care what you say in front of the cameras. It's what you're supposed to say. Right. Like, you're supposed to go into these meetings and interviews saying, oh, yeah, I love Lamar. He's the best. He and I have a close relationship, and we're doing everything we can possible to make this a winning organization. But to me, how is it every season you go into a preseason, a league year, and you're waiting on other teams to cut players before you try to surround your talent with more talent? And I think this is pretty risky going into it because you don't know who's going to be cut. And I know a lot of you are going to say, but you know, June 1st cuts, it's going to be a lot of cap casualties. It's going to be a lot of talented players that are going to be released by other teams. But most importantly, this is the thing that I don't think a lot of people are factoring in, is they have to want to come to Baltimore. I don't care who gets released. You have to want to come to Baltimore. Just because a star left tackle or a very good guard gets released, he may not want to come play here, or we may not be offering him the money that he's looking for. So we can't keep saying, well, let's just wait till these June 1st cuts happen, because it has to be a two-sided thing. So I think this is a risky proposition, especially when you're going into an offseason where we finally made it to the AFC Championship. Lamar Jackson won almost his second unanimous MVP, and we're banking on projects. We banked on projects with the wide receiver core 2 years ago. We banked on projects when we let Orlando Brown Jr. go. We banked on projects with Adafe Owe. Like, how many times are we going to stop with the projects and actually go get players that are going to help this team get to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, that's not a thing that they believe in on the offensive side of the ball. They want to be young and cheap and just get by on the offensive side, and they want high-end talent on the defensive side because they've had plenty of opportunities. I know that you know, people who defend DaCosta like to say that, you know, if he's used more draft picks on wide receiver than any other GM in the league, you know, since he's been the GM, and that's true, but they haven't panned out. Right. And it hasn't worked multiple times, and they're not changing anything in terms of the way they go about acquiring wide receiver talent. That's just the way they want it to be. They've had multiple opportunities. I mean, we can go and name, you know, basically like 8 of the top 10 wide receivers in the NFL have changed teams since DaCosta's been a GM, and they have missed out on all those guys, some of them twice. You know, it's just their philosophy, and I don't think it's going to change as long as DaCosta and Harbaugh are there. And this is just kind of what it's going to be. They've gone to the playoffs 5 times in Lamar's 6 seasons. All 5 losses have looked pretty similar,
right?
And they just refuse to change anything.
Yeah. You know, to me, we talk about self-actualization, self-realization. Eric DaCosta came out and said, "I am terrible when it comes to drafting skill position players." He's like, "I'm really bad at it." So if you come to realize you're not doing a good job at it, nor are your scouts, because apparently there's a disconnect between the scouts that we've had since the inception of the Ravens. This is not just an Eric DaCosta thing. This is a Baltimore Ravens thing. Since the inception of the team in 96, we could not pick wide receivers. So if you know that you cannot pick wide receivers, why not go out there and get one that you know can play? A.J. Brown, really young, and we knew he could play. Didn't cost that much. Stephon Diggs, on the 3 times that you missed him, didn't cost that much. I mean, Tyreek Hill, he costs much, but he's worth every penny.
Yes.
He makes Tua look like an all-pro, and that's not an easy task because Tua cannot play, and he showed it when Tyreek got hurt. So for me, there just comes a time when you have to say, look, I'm not getting it done. If I really want to win a championship, then I'm going to go out here and do something different. Now, I give him credit. He tried with Zay. He tried with Hollywood. He tried with Bateman. But like you said, he, since he's become a general manager, has invested the most capital into drafting wide receivers. Now, outside of those 3 in the first round, I'm not going to give you credit for 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th round picks. Like, I'm not going to give you credit for that. We all could take a flyer on somebody. You took a flyer on a 5th rounder on a fullback that you cut and brought back. Like, I'm not giving you credit for that. Apparently there is something going on that you cannot bring in talent to surround your quarterback with. And yes, people are going to say, oh man, well, you know, he tried with Odell Beckham Jr. He didn't try with Odell Beckham Jr. That was a stipulation for Lamar re-signing that he had to bring him in. So they had to overpay for somebody.
And they took the worst of the 2 options in that scenario too, because he also said DeAndre Hopkins. And the crazy thing is DeAndre cost less and was better, and they were like, can't do it, bro.
They was like, you want the guy that's not been hurt, that's been productive, that's what you want on this team? And Lamar's like, yeah. They're like, not gonna be able to do it. Not gonna be able to do it. So to me, you know, they're gonna be the EDC apologist, and I'm not saying that he's a horrible general manager because he's above average, but when do you look at it and say there needs to be change? Now, Ozzy, I love Ozzy Newsome. He was not a perfect general manager by any means. Like, Ozzy is the anti-EDC in a sense. Ozzy would hit on all his first round picks, and anything after that, you roll in the dice. Like, you just shake him up. That's for the most part. Until the middle.
Your name, Matt Ellum.
Until the end. But for the most part, yeah, his first rounds hit, and the rest of them did it. And for EDC, he's had some mid-round picks hit, and up until Kyle Hamilton, Linderbaum, the first rounds really didn't do much. But In 2000, Ozzy went all in and said, these are the pieces that we need to become a championship level team. And for those of you that aren't, that weren't Ravens fans back then, when the Ravens made their Super Bowl run, they had never been to the playoffs previously at all. And Ozzy still said, hey, these are the pieces that we need to take this next step to get to the playoffs and maybe win a Super Bowl. We had been on the doorstep of a Super Bowl several times. Several times. We would have been one or two wins away from making a Super Bowl. But yet and still, we keep doing this repetitive cycle of, let's bring in more defenders. Let's bring in more defenders. Let's bring in more defenders. Lamar, you go fend for yourself, and we'll see what's left over after all the dust is settled. Yeah, that's right, Daniel. The P word. So to me, it's just, when will you try something different? I'm not asking you to go outside of yourself as a general manager. I'm not asking you to change your ways. What I'm asking you to do is evaluate the situation. And like you said, B, 5 out of the last 6 years, each playoff loss has looked exactly the same. Defense played strong, offense couldn't score. But yet and still, here we are leading up to the NFL draft, waiting for people to get cut to surround Lamar Jackson with. And yes, the draft may be offensive line heavy. It may be wide receiver heavy. But once again, we're putting too much weight on young players to come in and lift this franchise up and put them on their shoulders. Granted, there's some great talent out there. But where the Ravens are drafting at, they're not getting a Justin Jefferson. They're not getting a Jamar Chase. They're not getting these guys. So to me, thinking that the draft is going to fill 3 offensive line spots, wide receiver 2, running back 2, and some other needs possibly on the offense, it's crazy to me, because you know that they are going to draft defense. And that leads me to the second segment, since, you know, Brian keeps looking at his watch.
I'm not looking at my watch.
Oh, my bad. So what it leads me to the second segment is, recently I've been seeing a lot of publications, and I think that they're trying to tell me something. I think they're trying to prepare me for what is to come. And they're saying things like, what if the Ravens don't draft offense in the first round? Mm-hmm. What if the Ravens go corner in the first round? I think they're trying, they know something, and they're trying to tell me something. So to me, you know, the Ravens said they love to zag when everybody else is zigging. To me, it just feels like they're setting us up for failure, and they're going to go cornerback in the first round, or they're going to go edge rush. And to me, and I know a lot of people, and maybe not in here right now, but later on are going to say we need cornerback 3. So what cornerback in the first round of the draft, or even the second round, what cornerback is going to come in and start over Brandon Stevens?
I don't think it's that. I do agree. I think there's a strong chance that they end up going corner. And by the way, you are asking Eric DaCosta to change. You are, because this is what he is. And I've said this about when we talk about coaching nepotism in the league, right? You can teach someone how to play a song on piano, but that doesn't mean that they know how to play the piano, right? He's doing what he was taught to do. He's not a great GM. He's doing what he saw Ozzie do. I don't know that he is capable of changing that, but I honestly think, like, the last time, I'm looking at it right now in draft history, right? The first time they had that, you know, best wide receiver class ever, you know, Sammy Watkins, Odell Beckham, you know, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, you know, those guys. Yeah. Baltimore was sitting in the middle of that draft at 17, and they took C.J. Mosley, right? They like to zag. I don't think that they're going to be looking for somebody who can beat out Brandon Stevens. I think that they're going to take a corner, maybe a Kool-Aid, maybe
he's right there,
maybe Cooper.
Don't
look to move on from Marlon Humphrey next year.
Okay. So here's the thing that gets me is, and I get that Marlo has not been the player that he was when they signed him to his $98 million contract. Understand it. But to me is, we keep causing recurring problems. Recurring problems. I also read an article, and this is something that I actually said in some videos a few weeks back, is, for as great as everyone claims that EDC is, why is it every offseason we have the same needs? We always need a wide receiver. We always need some type of lineman. We always need an edge rusher, and we always need a cornerback every offseason. So you're going to do the same thing you did with Morgan Moses' situation, possibly draft a corner in the first round this year to replace Marlowe, cut him next year, and then what are we going to need next year? We're going to need another corner. So what are you going to go into the draft in the first two rounds to do? Draft another corner. While Lamar is still left out there asking to carry a franchise on his back. So I'm not understanding this. And listen, what is it? Latu? Who's the guy from UCLA?
Yeah, Latu.
Yeah, that guy. If he's available, I want him to be available just to see what the Ravens do. Like, I want to tempt fate.
You know what they do? They'll take the best player available.
That's false.
The highest grade on their board because he plays defense.
What's going on? Listen, that is a false statement. And I hope Yolanda is not listening. But Odafe Oweh was not the best player available when they drafted him.
He was the best player available. Did you not see the trivia question last week? He was a half sack better than the tribal chief.
Right? Than the wrestler?
No, you don't get better than that. No.
Than the wrestler?
Yes.
So you telling me
one of the longest reigning champions of all time.
Of all time. Yes. The script is written. I mean, the story is ended. You're telling me Patrick Queen was one of the best players available when they drafted him.
The Patrick Queen thing is hilarious because it is another example of what they, you know, what the Ravens like to do. And you know, you sat there. And Jose brings this up all the time, but you said that you had C.J. Mosley, who was 26 years old at the time.
Yep.
Who was an all-pro middle linebacker. And he said, you know what? I don't want to pay him possibly $16, $17 million a year. We're going to let him walk. We're going to draft his replacement. We're going to stay cheap. And we pass on T. Higgins at that point. And what did that lead to? A few years later, trading a second-round pick to get in Roquan Smith so you can give him a $20 million a year contract and still not have a wide receiver.
And this is what y'all call somebody cooking. And then, but listen, then once again, we're still in the same situation because C.J. Mosley's replacement, he's now gone.
Mm-hmm.
So for some reason...
C.J. Mosley was a second team All-Pro in 2022.
Oh, yeah. Still he's had two All-Pros and I think three Pro Bowls since he's left Baltimore. So that, and that $17 million a year contract now looks like a bargain. And I think to me, it was, what was it? The Lakers dynasty? Which one was it? It was one of those. I can't remember which one because you know there was two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they asked him, like, why are you paying him all this money now? He was like, because I see the climate of the NBA changing and I see what contracts are going to be. So I'm going to jump ahead of it and pay him less now. So,
So
EDC could have been like, you know what? These contracts are ballooning. Paying him $17 million now, if he stays at his current trajectory of being the player that he is, this contract is going to become a bargain. So what do? Now we lost a second-round pick, and we ponied up an extra $3 million per year. And I'm not saying that Roquan's not worth it, but we just keep going around these repetitive cycles over and over.
Roquan's not worth it. Like, he's a great player. You can even argue, if you want, that he's the best linebacker in the league. He's not worth $20 million a year. They don't affect the game enough. Or if you want to tell me I'm wrong, tell me what he did in that Chiefs game.
I was about to say, he was invisible. Me personally, I'm looking around like, where's my $20 million linebacker? Like, what is he doing?
I was looking around for that $20 million D tackle against going up against that backup guard.
Yeah, that offensive line was decimated. But they held them to 17 points.
They did. They did. They needed to hold into less.
This is facts. So just for me, I can't wait for the draft. We're doing a draft.
Or they needed to cover Marquez Valdes-Scantling on third down. Because I heard that their receivers were trash. That's what I heard about Kansas City.
But wait a minute.
Somehow he got behind the best defense in the league and converted that first down and ended the game.
Wait a minute. So you telling me, because I'm just trying to understand this. You're telling me that the dude that gave up that third down pass to MVS, who the Ravens re-signed, and everybody went on social media talking about, oh, he's a dog. He's the best. He's the best slot corner out there. He's this, he's that, and whatever. The dude that couldn't cover people because he got a couple of sacks because Mike McDonald schemed him to get sacks. Now he's a dog. And this is the guy that we're going to depend on. It's not even on him.
Like, you got a $70 million safety and a top 14 all pro safety in Kyle Hamilton, too, right? Like, where were they at? Geno Stone almost led the league in interceptions. Where was he at?
They're covering other people.
Where was Justin Madubuike bringing down Patrick Mahomes so he couldn't even make that throw? Where was Kyle Van Noy?
He's getting a penalty, man.
I know he was.
But I'm not, listen, I'm not here to crap on the defense.
Okay.
I'm just here to say, once again, we're in a situation where we're going into this draft, and the majority of us are thinking offensive line, wide receiver, first two picks. And the Ravens, I promise you, the Ravens are going to zag. And when we do this stream with Coach Evans on draft night, if they pick a defender on draft night, I'm logging off. And that is my promise. Y'all keep laughing. That is my promise to you all, because I'm going to be so irate that we're doing the same thing. And people are going to say, yeah, the Ravens are just doing this to make that defense even better. They're averaging giving up 13 points a game in the playoffs. 13 points. So you really think by adding this defender in the first round, they're going to give up 10 points? But what, Hendo? The Ravens offense is only averaging 9 points a game. So 10 points is null and void. And what's going on, B-Mo Griddles? What are we tripping about? You tell me what we're not telling the truth about, or what we're making up right now. I would love to know.
And the thing is, not trying to crap on the defense either, but the point is that when you continue to pour resources into it,
oh, yes,
and don't get the things that you need on offense, you still blame Lamar in the offense.
Yeah, and this was the whole point of what we were saying.
Do they need to score more? Okay, then don't sign Justin Madubuike. Don't sign Roquan Smith, and go get some goddamn receivers if you need to score more.
And some offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But Bradley, we have Isaiah Likely.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make such a difference.
Yeah,
I mean, he played well. I'm not trying to crap on Isaiah. He's played. He's doing what is asked of him.
He played well in that game. He had two catches, like, bruh, 13 yards.
Didn't you see him throw the hand up?
I did see him throw the hand up. I told this Jose too. I'm gonna start doing what DaCosta fans do when you bring up them not getting Diggs and not signing Hopkins. You know, all these things. Like, he tried. He was interested. Yeah, well, you know what? Lamar tried to throw a touchdown on that play too, right?
He was interested in scoring.
They have to want to sign in Baltimore. He can't make them. Okay, well, he can't control what happens after the ball leaves his hand either. Maybe Likely should have jumped up and caught it. I don't know. But what I do know is he tried. So I don't want to hear it.
I don't think so. I think Mark is – something's just don't look right with him. He doesn't look healthy. So I think that Likely's going to get more of an opportunity this season. And if they don't do anything with the wide receiving core, they're probably going to run a two tight end set. I mean, that's just – they'll split him out wide. Like, who knows? Like,
I look at Derrick Henry, and I like Derrick Henry. I've always been a big fan of Derrick Henry. But, you know, I would expect for him to be less effective than he has been in the past. You know, he's over 30. And that's typically when you start to see that fall off for running backs, right? But that's fine. But my thing with him is you're the top rushing team in the league every year. And your big investment in the offense is a 30-year-old running back. And, you know, I was saying, yeah, go get a running back too. But I said, go get a running back who can catch. That's not Derrick Henry. You specifically went after the one guy who was available who doesn't add anything in the pass game. It's intentional at this point, right?
Right.
You could have got Saquon. You could have got Josh Jacobs. You could have got Tony Pollard. You could have got DeAndre Swift. You could have even got Austin Eckler. All guys who can catch the ball. And he said, you know what? No. Give me the old bulldozer that's probably going to break down in a year.
Bruh. Did you see and I'm not taking – I like Derrick Henry. I've always liked Derrick Henry. Did you see his interview on a Pivot? This dude once had 56 carries in a high school football game. 56 carries, and they were winning. And just through his – and I'm not trying to take anything away from him because he's in phenomenal shape. But the usage that he's had from high school to college till now, and I do think that he's still going to get 1,000 yards this season. And I still think he's going to quite frankly be the Derrick Henry that we know. But once again, this isn't for a year or two. You should make an investment to put talent around Lamar for years to come. Somebody that he can build with, somebody he can get that rapport with and continue on in the future. Give him credit for Zay Flowers, because that's something that they can do unless Zay decides, you know what, I don't like this team, I want out. But get one of the younger backs. Like Saquon would have been perfect for this offense. Perfect for this offense.
And by the way, Witten got the older running back and then said, you know what? We don't need to retain either of our starting guards, and let's get that right tackle the hell out of here, too.
Yeah.
So you went and you got the running back, and then said, screw this O-line.
So, yeah, I mean, he started 1 year at Bama, but just collectively those years of putting that work together, like, just it's the hits, and we can only hope. Like, we're not saying that these players are not going to do these things. It's a wish and a hope, you know what I'm saying? And I just think for myself, and I maybe speak for Bradney as well, we need to stop going with, well, maybe they could, or I think that they can. Well, it's quite possible they could be. I think we need to get away from that to he's a dog. Like, we knew A.J. Brown was a dog. We knew A.J. Brown, and I know Brady's got something to say about this. We knew that A.J. Brown played like a Raven, so to speak, even though you say it's not a real thing. But we knew this. And he's young. Mm-hmm. We knew all of these things. And we looked and said, you know what? Give up a draft pick. Why would I do that? I think I heard something during the Eric DaCosta presser where he was talking about draft picks and how he loves them and all this other stuff. But when you realize you can't draft, you don't need 9 draft picks. You don't need 11 draft picks. You know, you say that you go best player available. I'm going to call horse crap on that one, because you're telling me in the 4th round, a punter was the best player available?
Right, and 2 tight ends. Robert, Saquon Barkley's cap hits for this year and next year are 3.8 and 5.5. Get the hell out of here with that nonsense.
Wait a minute.
Talking about you wanted too much money.
But here's the thing, though. It's never too much money for the defense.
No. You know who wanted too much money? The guy who performed for 1 year. and then said, pay me like I'm a top D tackle.
Not the running back that had no quarterback, no offensive line, no wide receivers, and nobody at head coach that could do anything for him, but still produce. Not that guy that's done it year in and year out, but the guy that had the one outstanding year, and I'm not saying he's not going to do it again, but the guy that had one productive year, he didn't want too much money. No. You know, the guy that we signed for $70 million who can't seem to stay healthy, he didn't want too much money. The cornerback that, I don't know what the hell happened to him since 2018, he didn't want too much money. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's always when it comes to offense, we don't have the money. But I guarantee you, if a defender becomes available right now, we'll find the money, and Ravens flock won't have two words to say about it. Oh, yeah, we needed him. Yes, good signing.
Yeah, they tried to pay Darius Slay last year. And then when they failed, they said, we ain't got no money for a receiver.
Yep. Well, they tried to get him 2 years in a row. And then the year before that, they tried to get Xavier Howard. When we had, remember, we didn't have any money to bring in a offensive weapon, but they tried to take on Xavier Howard's $15 million contract. Once again, when it comes to defense, we can always find these coins in the couch. But when it's offensively, this ain't Madden.
It says Saquon signed for the most of any running back. Yeah, that's true. And Derrick Henry's cap hits for the next 2 years are bigger than Saquon Barkley's. It's about the way you structure the contract. The Ravens don't know how to do it, which is why you need a new GM. But I don't want to hear you talking about, He wanted a little more money. He's a better player. He's a younger player. He brings more than Derrick Henry does. Of course he should get more money.
Right. Right. Like, that it just makes sense. And once again, and I'm not here to argue with anybody, but the points that you're bringing up, make sure you do your research on the whole thing and stop just spitting out stuff. You know what I'm saying? Stop just spitting out, well, he costs more, his cap hits higher. Who cares? Even if Saquon's cap hit was more than Derrick Henry's, who cares? For one, he brings us more stability for a longer period of time. We don't know how many more years that Derrick Henry has left. I guarantee you Saquon has more than 3 years left in his career.
No, Ken, he's also better. Because even if you think Derrick Henry's a better runner, Saquon brings so much more in the pass game that you can't really argue that Derrick Henry's a better player at this point. Like, if he was still out there running for 2,200 yards, sure, but he wasn't.
Right.
He was out there running for 1,100 yards.
Right. Right. And Jose's right. There's always an excuse for us not getting talent to help Lamar out. But we'll see next week what's going to happen. Moving on to the next one, because we spent a lot of time on this one that I really wasn't expecting. My apologies, Brodney.
Okay.
Next topic. So, this week, apparently, and this goes back to helping Lamar as well, Brandon Ayuk unfollowed the 49ers on social media. Do you think, Brownie, that this is a big deal or not? Because in this climate today, especially with these younger people, when they start taking down their team stuff off of social media, it means that they're either doing a negotiating ploy or they really want out. And nine times out of 10, it means that they're going to leave that organization. Do you think that the Baltimore Ravens should take a flyer on Brandon Ayuk?
Not a flyer. Like, he's worth it. They should be, if San Francisco's listening to offers, they should be all in on trying to get Brandon Ayuk. What's going on, Eric? He's not the best wide receiver that's been available, but they passed on other guys. So you got to go. And especially considering the rumor being Pittsburgh being the team that's most interested, because that's always the way it's reported, right? That, oh, Baltimore is one of the teams that's interested. Well, the secondary report was that Pittsburgh is kind of all in on getting him, and Baltimore has some interest as well. But his agent came out and said that's not true. We'll see. I tend to think he's getting moved before the start of the season.
Yeah, I have one question for Robert. I need your insiders, because you always seem to know who does and does not want to come to the Ravens. Please share your sources with me. How do you know where he wants to go? Like, please tell me. How do you know where he wants to go, first and foremost? Secondly, if he gets traded, he has no choice in the matter. I don't care where you want to go to. If the team trades for you, that's where you go. They hold your rights. Like, come on. Like, let's please stop making excuses for why the Ravens aren't doing something. Listen, Brandon Ayuk, to me, is one of the better wide receivers in the league. A lot of people don't really know about him, but each year his numbers have gotten better. He started off with 700-some yards. He went to 800. Then he went to 1,000. This year he had 1,342 yards on 75 catches, 7 touchdowns. You don't think that the Ravens could use that production? And also, he's on his fifth-year option. So the Ravens can afford it. Like, they can afford to set this money aside to bring him in. I don't care where he wants or does not want to go. Is this guy going to help us get a little bit closer to winning a championship or not? Is the Ravens signing him going to prevent another team? Because listen, I'll keep sleeping on other teams. Like, other teams are collectively making moves to make their offenses better. If you don't think that the Buffalo Bills aren't out there looking for a replacement for Stephon Diggs, you're crazy. They're looking for replacements. It's just that marriage didn't work out, and they're up here trying to bring in people. But we're going to find a way to say, we don't need him. He's a bum. He's a cancer. He's not good. And Lamar will do a lot better without him. Okay. Hollywood Brown didn't want to be a Raven.
It seemed to me that he did want to be a Raven until you kept running him out there in Greg Roman's garbage offense. But let me tell you this, Robert. Players want to play where they're getting paid. You think DeAndre Hopkins looked at Tennessee and said, yep, that's where I'm going to win. And then Calvin Ridley did the same thing this offseason. They said, I got to go play with Will Levis. That's where it's at. No, they go where they're going to get the money. And right. If Baltimore opens their checkbook, then Brandon Ayuk will want to be a Raven.
Thanks. Because let me tell you, a couple years back, Calais Campbell left the Ravens and said, I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to be in a Super Bowl. I want to win a championship. I think he signed with Atlanta.
Did he sign with the Atlanta Falcons?
That ain't
never won shit.
And didn't even have a quarterback at the time.
Wow, that's wild. You know who else didn't want to be a Raven? Derrick Henry. But guess where he's playing? Playing in Baltimore, because y'all offered him a contract.
Facts. He wanted to be a Cowboy. Like, it's amazing how this works. It's amazing how you go where the money is. And for a lot of players want to go where they're wanted. It may not be about, I don't like that organization. I don't think they can do anything. Why wouldn't a wide receiver want to come here knowing that they're going to be the number one option? Regardless of how many yards you think they're going to get, how many catches you think they're going to get, they're going to be the number one option, A. B, you know they're going to the playoffs. So now you're getting a playoff check as well. And C, they were just in the AFC Championship game. So I have the possibility of coming in and helping a team win a Super Bowl. Who doesn't want to come to this situation?
Right,
you know what I mean? But like Jose said, if the offensive talent doesn't want to come here, it's time to move on from the GM, because something's wrong. Something is wrong that players don't want to play with the two-time league MVP because your head coach is bringing in favors for offensive coordinator. You're running offenses that no one wants to be a part of. That has nothing to do with the players. It's on the coach and the culture that's being set and what the players are talking about at the Pro Bowls and the meetings. Like, yo, yeah, John Harbaugh's a players coach and he's good with the players. But when it comes to the X's and O's, because even Patrick Queen, and this is how I knew Patrick Queen was not re-signing with the Baltimore Ravens. He came out and said after the Ravens lost, I'm tired of doing the same stuff over and over again. I'm tired of losing the same way. It's like we don't learn. And he didn't say that against his fellow players. He was saying it against coaching. Mm-hmm. That's why he got out of here, because he doesn't see anything changing with EDC and John Harbaugh. Because once again, for 5 out of the last 6 years, we've gone into the playoffs and lost the exact same way each and every time. But here we are once again talking about, we need more defense. We got to get some more defensive guys to come in here and stop them from scoring. Like, oh, y'all sound silly with the same stuff. And guess what? We're going to go draft, I don't even want to say it, Jason Sehorn in the first round. And we're going to play. I'm not saying he can't play, but is he going to affect the game enough? Yeah. Is he going to affect the game enough to stop the Ravens from not scoring?
One defender can affect the game enough. Again, I've said this on our show before. They've held Pat Mahomes to 17, Joe Burrow to 17, and Josh Allen to 10. And the Ravens are 0-3 in those games. Talk to me about defense winning you a championship.
They don't want to talk about that. They want to make up an excuse. Why? I'm not, listen, and it has nothing to do with him being white. I don't care if it's cool. Listen, I like Kool-Aid McKinstry, but I don't want him in the first round. I don't want a cornerback. I don't want to see a cornerback to at least the fourth or fifth, because we have three cornerbacks. You re-signed Arthur Millett. You have the 2 fourth-round picks that you decided that you really needed in the draft, that can't get on the field or can't stay healthy. It's time for your draft picks to come in and do some work, since now, quote unquote, these are the reasons that we can't win playoff games or bring in players, because Lamar Jackson's now, his contract is now eating up a lot of the salary cap when we're having the same issues that we had when he was on his rookie contract. So it's time for your draft picks to hit, since EDC cooks so well, since he pulls out that hot plate and gives you that hibachi meal. His draft picks need to play, and they need to start playing well. Ojabo, draft looking for another edge rusher when you have a first and a second round pick there. Tavis Robinson, fourth round pick. Why do we need more? Your draft picks need to hit. I think he can play. Don't get me wrong. Dude can play. He can ball. But he's not going to move the needle come playoff time. No, I'm just saying. You're not. So, you know, let's go out here. Let's go get Brandon Ayuk. Make this offense better.
And Ravens fans will tell you all day about how they can't afford Brandon Ayuk. They don't want to give up the picks for Brandon Ayuk. And then when he goes to Pittsburgh, y'all going to cry.
He's not going to Pittsburgh, but we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
All right. So today was the last regular season game. The regular season games have ended in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go to the playing games on Tuesday. So, Brodney, what matchups are you looking for now that the regular season has concluded and the Lakers have somehow climbed from 10th all the way up to what are they?
All the way up to
eight.
Yeah, all two spots. I'm not looking for much of anything right now. They got to beat the Pelicans again. That's who they're going to be playing in the first round of the play-in tournament. And then if they beat the Pelicans, right, if they are fortunate enough to beat the Pelicans, they get to go into the first round and play the team that swept them in the playoffs last year, the Denver Nuggets. If they lose to the Pelicans, they get to contend with Steph Curry, who, look, I think they're better than Golden State. I'm not going to lie. I think they're a better team than Golden State. But Steph Curry can go off for 50 any moment, right? And if he has one of those games, there's nothing you can do about it. So that puts you in real danger of missing the playoffs altogether. But let's say, you know, they lose to the Pelicans and they go and they beat Golden State or whatever other garbage team it is they're playing. I forget. Then that would put them in the 8th seed playing the OKC Thunder. I think that LeBron would break Chet Holmgren at half, but that's still not a matchup I really want to see for LA. You know? I think they have a better shot of beating OKC than they do Denver, just because of the youth of the Thunder. But it's not a good matchup either way.
Either way, how's Anthony Davis? I saw he had a little back injury.
Anthony's fine, man. Just leave Anthony alone. Huh.
I'm asking a legit question. I saw him leave the game.
He's tired of you outsiders always asking about his health like he's always hurt. All right. He out there every night putting in work.
This one is going to be a good one. I was thinking about this one, the Heat versus the Sixers.
That ain't going to be a good one. They going to run Miami off that court.
You think so? It's something about playoff time with Jimmy. Jimmy.
Not Philly.
Something about Jimmy buckets in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, in the play-in first and second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, there is something about Jimmy Butler. There's not really something about him in the conference finals or in the finals.
You're right. He does kind of shy away. But listen, Philly has their own issues of getting out the first round and just having their stars play like stars. Like, I know Embiid's back, but how is his condition going to be? Because his condition wasn't even the best when he won league MVP.
Right. In the best of times, his conditioning isn't great.
It isn't. But for me, once again, I think it's a rematch of last year. It's going to be Golden State versus Sacramento. Sacramento almost beat Golden State last year. I think that they're worse off now. And I know they have a couple injuries that they're dealing with some of their key players. But right now, Andrew Wiggins is missing. We don't know what Draymond Green we're going to get. Klay Thompson's crippled. His shot is crippled. But it was a great series last season, and that's when we had Steph Curry be the man that he is. I would love to see the Lakers in Golden State go at it. Personally,
I don't know why you want to. They knocked you out the playoffs last couple times.
Revenge, brother. Revenge.
Last couple times.
Revenge.
Okay, you ain't gonna get it though. Like the Lakers are a better team than you.
They might be.
Sorry. Like, do you think you can beat the Pelicans to get yourself into the playoffs proper, though?
It depends. It depends which Pelicans team show up. Brandon Ingram is just coming.
Depends. Tells me that you don't want any part of the Lakers, man.
I want the Lakers.
No, you don't.
But it depends on what Brandon Ingram. Brandon Ingram just came back.
You're unsure about the Pelicans. You don't want the Lakers?
Because they got Zion. Don't have nobody to stop Zion.
So what? You ain't got nobody to stop AD or LeBron either.
Hey, we know AD's going to get his points.
Truth be told, you don't have anybody to stop D'Angelo if he feels like making a shot.
But he doesn't. Not in the playoffs.
Not in the playoffs yet. It's not the playoffs yet.
Kind of is. We know Anthony Davis is going to get his numbers. We just going to let LeBron play himself out the game and hope that Austin Reeves doesn't come through. Because I think Austin Reeves is the X factor.
God, well, I mean, shit. Just back it up then. Because he can't be. Like, you say that about LeBron. LeBron went 28, 17, and 11 today. On 20 shots.
He used up all his juice.
No.
Just like in Avengers, they was like, we got two trips. He used one for the play-in tournament, and he used the other one for today.
Not even a little bit, my friend.
He's done. But I mean, listen.
You saw his numbers for this season, right?
No, I didn't.
I want to say it was 25, 7, and 5. Let me pull it up here.
It doesn't matter. LeBron's balling.
No, I'm saying he averaged 27, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. So 25, 8, and 7 in his 21st season. They said no one's ever averaged that after their 10th season until now.
He's
unbelievable,
balling.
Man. Unbelievable numbers.
LeBron
it's going to be sad when he retires.
It really is. Because there's nobody to take his place. Nah. To me,
Wembanyama looked like LeBron getting out at the right time. But I mean, I'm just saying, anytime you lose a great player like that, it's sad.
It is sad. It really is. All right. So who do you?
How you gonna come in just averaging 3.5 blocks?
Right, he's like 6'30".
He blocked Chet. You remember when he blocked Chet Holmgren and Chet Holmgren fell down on the ground because he'd never been blocked like that because he's 7 feet tall? He palmed the ball.
I mean,
he had to jump.
All right, B. So give me your prediction for who do you think is actually going to win the NBA title?
Lakers. All day. You mean like for real, for real?
No, I mean, who's really going to win the title?
All right. Yes. Okay, so if we're looking at this, I don't think I don't think it's going to be anybody in the Eastern Conference. And just real quick, I just don't trust Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown in the big moments. You know, even though they are the best team in the league right now, and I love the addition of Jrue Holiday. You know, I mean, he's a clutch performer, but I can't trust Tatum and Brown in those moments. Okay. So I'm going to say nobody in the East because Doc Rivers has ruined the Bucks. The Knicks are the second seed, which tells you how good that conference is. So moving on to the West.
Like what?
We're moving on to the West. You know, I think right now my top two are Denver repeating and Dallas shocking some people just off the strength of Kyrie and Luka going off. But okay. I'm saying my number one is Denver.
Okay. So for me, with the big three of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and a little yellow boy, what's his name? Devin Booker.
You don't have to call what's going him on yellow top? Boy.
I'm sorry. I'm blowing up my
power. Man, Robert wrong about everything all the time.
He is not wrong about everything. So with the big three, in Phoenix, I'm going to say they're not going to win. For me, it's definitely going to be Denver. Denver's going to repeat. Like, honestly, Nikola Jokic should have been the three-time MVP.
Should have been.
They cheated him just because he's white. And I think that they're going to go in and win a title again. Even though they've lost a couple of pieces, I don't think there's anybody can stop. Like, they've been playing around with teams all regular season. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray, he's been just toying with guys. But I think once the playoffs come and they lock in, hopefully LeBron doesn't meet them once again, because I don't want to see LeBron get swept again.
No, I didn't say they're going to win. I said they're not going to get swept again. I don't think that's outlandish, sir. Okay? You know, it's not like that. All right, Gabe Vincent is back. The 11 percenter is back. You know, Crypto Spence is out there now. Uh-huh. They got all kinds of – Christian Wood might come back.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what old tall boy who can't shoot is doing. Vanderbilt. I mean, you know, maybe he comes back. I don't know, man. They're not gonna get swept again.
He could have won for it. Like, yo, he's gonna win it again. Like, the dude is just. Chen, what was going on? Stop it, sir. Stop it. I'm not ready for anything. But let's take a look around the NFL. It's not much news going on around the NFL, but it's something.
Yeah, that DC avatar makes sense, man.
It's something that I wanted to highlight. Two things. First, that, you know, earlier you spoke about possibly Brandon Ayuk going to the Steelers. The Steelers were actually in talks inside of their building to trade for T. Higgins. And they're trying to just figure out how they would complement T. Higgins and George Pickens together. You know, Pickens is temperamental. He likes the ball. But, I mean, T. Higgins just came from a system where they were two number ones. Mm-hmm. So I think that he would fit in quite nicely.
Don't even think that's a problem with George Pickens. I really, really don't. I think that the problem that he had was the people who were throwing him the ball.
This may be true.
And if you put him out there and he's getting the ball the exact same amount, he gets the exact same number of targets, but they're moving the ball and they're scoring points, he'll be fine.
False. Yeah, this is true. You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Barry Rapp, man. Congrats on Orlando making it.
Yeah, congrats. You know, I owe him. I bet.
On the strength of the Duke Blue Devils.
Duke. Yeah, Devils. I owe him something. I don't know what we bet. I owe him something, but whatever. What's going on, Jared? How you feeling? Appreciate you for driving.
They're not getting swept by the Cavs, though. They might beat the Cavs.
I mean, they might. If the Cavs are injured, but if, you know.
Even if they weren't, they're the Cavs.
You might be right. They are the Cavs. All right, so to me, once again, you have a division rival that's looking to make their team better. Now, of course, we don't believe Cincinnati is going to trade in division with a rival. But once again, if the price is right, if they offer enough, they can do it. But just for me, it just highlights a team that's thinking about surrounding their quarterback with talent.
Y'all traded in division with the Steelers?
I mean, it was Chris Wormley. He's not even with the team anymore.
I'm sure he's with the team somewhere.
Yeah, you know, and so for me, it's just we need to stop with the excuses. Other teams are trying to go out there. Russell Wilson, shout out to him and his career, maybe Justin Fields and what he's done or tried to accomplish, but they are not on the level of a Lamar Jackson. And the Steelers are still trying to surround him with an offensive line and weapons to use. They've already got their number one in place. They already got their tight end in place. They've been building the offensive line these past few seasons, and they brought in a new offensive coordinator. So they're trying to put these pieces around him. And I think that the Ravens can take a page from them, or at least, and I'm not a fan of thievery, but steal at least one of the scouts from Pittsburgh that does the wide receivers. Steal one of them dudes, because they've been killing it for decades, and I don't know how they do it. But the second, I'm sorry.
I'll tell you how they do it. They have a very clear direction as to what they are looking for in a wide receiver. And if you send those scouts to Baltimore and EDC and John Harbaugh says, got a block if you want the ball, y'all won't draft any good receivers either. Still.
But that's the part that has me perplexed, because George Pickens loves to block. He blocked at Georgia.
But so you know what else he likes to do? He likes to yell, though. And John is uncomfortable around the people who like to yell a lot.
And just stand in front of the TV with ski masks on for no reason. they don't like that. But the second story, and I think this is the one, I'm not going to say it's more damning, but this is the second NFL story to me that I saw it and was like, oh, gosh, really? Mm-hmm. So in this upcoming draft, 25th of April,
yes,
the Los Angeles Rams are going to be making their first round selection since they selected Jared Goff number one in 2016.
Potentially.
They could still trade. But you have to realize they haven't had a first round pick since 2016 and have been to two Super Bowls.
Yet and still, I mean, and not just the Ravens, a lot of teams around the league would have you believe that draft picks are more valuable than anything. I wouldn't give a first round pick for this guy who's been to four Pro Bowls, who I know can play at a high level in the NFL. I'm going to take Cordarrelle Patterson and ask him to be my number one wide receiver.
It's facts.
And sometimes it works out and you get Justin Jefferson. Sometimes you get Jalen Reagor.
Yeah, that was a misstep on their part.
It was a decision.
But here's the thing, though, with that, Brodney. Here's the thing. Jalen Reagor was a complete failure. Did that stop them?
You didn't have to say it like that. No, but no, it did not stop them.
I'm sorry.
No, it did not stop them. He's not a complete failure.
I'm sorry.
I think he's still in Minnesota. He's resurrecting his career.
He just resigned.
He's turning things around.
He's turned into a Devin Duvernay?
That was uncalled for.
I'm sorry. He's turned into Tylan Wallace. He's becoming a Tylan Wallace.
Maybe a Laquan Treadwell, but I'm just saying that no, it didn't. Obviously, it didn't stop them. But in Baltimore, right, if you miss on a pick, it's like, oh my God, see you in 13 years.
they
don't like it.
They whiffed on a first round wide receiver and said, you know what, we got to go back in the lab and do something better. And then they went out and drafted one, and then traded for another.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
Imagine.
And look what happened. They took what Brodney likes to refer to as a fraud and went to a Super Bowl. I don't think he's a fraud. But he went to a Super Bowl. Jared Goff, by many, was thought to be a fraud.
Mm-hmm.
With all the situations that the Los Angeles Rams had, they went to a Super Bowl with Jared Goff. They didn't win it. Why? Because they couldn't score. How about that? But to me, more importantly, this is the thing I think that is the most damning evidence against the Ravens and people's excuses for why the Ravens can't do anything. And I've heard y'all, and I've sat back and listened to everybody talk about, well, we don't have the money to sign this player. He costs too much. His cap hit is too high. The Los Angeles Rams drafted Jared Goff number one. A few seasons in, they gave him over $100 million contract. Over $100 million. Then, while still on that $100 million contract, they traded him, incurring dead money. A lot of dead money for trading him. Then in turn, traded for Matthew Stafford. Then in turn, gave Matthew Stafford a large contract.
Mm-hmm.
How did they do that, Brodney? If this isn't Madden and teams can't pay people, how did you give two quarterbacks large contracts while also giving Aaron Donald a new contract, while also giving Cooper Kupp a new contract, while also giving Jalen Ramsey a new contract, and giving, my God, Leonard Floyd a new contract? And trade for Von Miller. How did you do all these things when you had two quarterbacks? Not one, two.
It's a mystery.
Two.
I don't know. Yeah, and Matt Stafford's cap hit this year, by the way, is $49.5 million.
And he's been hurt and hadn't even really been playing.
At age 36, and he's got Kyren Williams, Cooper Kupp, and Puka Nacua.
And they did all this without high draft picks?
Mm-hmm. No first round picks since 2016.
Remarkable. Remarkable.
Indeed it is.
So that you're telling me what ended up happening was you had a general manager who said F them picks. And he traded the picks for players that can actually play. Mm-hmm. But not only did he trade for players that can play, when he went into the draft, he picked home runs. He went into the later rounds and found gems. He went to the later rounds and found a Puka Nacua in the fifth round, who set all kinds of records. So when your GM is actually cooking, these are the things that happen. You know, people were talking about Les Snead before, and it was Ravens fans, because I heard you, and I got the receipts. You were talking about Les Snead and the after picks thing, and talking about that as a bad model to follow when you're building a franchise. But Les Snead has been to two Super Bowls. And 1-1.
Shan Wu says they want to build the wide receiver core through the draft. Why didn't they draft Puka Nacua then?
It's a lot of people that could have drafted. Could have. I mean, even to an extent. Or
George Pickens.
Hopefully I'm going to George Pickens. Hopefully I'll finish the video soon. But the Ravens in the 2018 draft were at pick 16. Traded back to pick 22. Traded back to pick 25. They could have taken Calvin Ridley because that was the guy that was mocked to us. But instead, we took Hayden Hurst.
Yep.
We took Hayden Hurst.
Sure did. Cortland Sutton was the next receiver taken, by the way.
He was. So please don't tell me about what we can do in the draft, because unfortunately.
Christian Kirk was in that next round as well.
Unfortunately, we don't like going into drafts finding talent. We like going into drafts finding value. So we can say, oh, you know, this guy has a second round grade and we got him in the fifth. Well, guess what? If he had a second round grade, you wouldn't be getting him in the fifth. He's either went in the second or third. But we love to tell the fans this so we can get overhyped over things and say, no, he's trying. He's putting together a really good roster. And I'll say this once again, and I'm not trying to be cruel or anything, bump the regular season. We've done this song and dance for decades. It's about championships. When you get to that KC level, when you get to that New England Patriots level, and dare I say it, old Pittsburgh Steelers level. It's about championships won. It's not about how many regular season games you won. It's not about me talking about, hey, we beat y'all in the regular season. We beat you down. But then come playoff time, we're not getting it done. And listen, Zay Flowers, I love Zay Flowers. I wanted him to pick Zay Flowers. He can't do it alone. And we don't know what his ascension is going to be. We don't know if this rookie season was his cap. We don't know if it's his floor. We don't know what it is. So bring in some talent.
I forgot you did take a wide receiver in that draft. Do you remember who it was?
Hold up. In 2018?
In the fifth round.
Who?
Jordan Lasley.
Ah, you told up.
You know who the next receiver taken was?
Who?
Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Mm. Now, not great, but a damn sight better than Jordan Lasley.
Jordan Lasley. And then the next season, we took Jahlil Scott.
Yeah. No, that was in the draft too.
That was we got both of them in the same year.
Yeah, I believe so.
And this is the organization that y'all swear is all about winning. Because one of them guys didn't make it out of training camp. I can't remember. Was it Scott? No, it was Scott, I think. Yeah. Who was running his mouth. He didn't make it out of training camp.
Oh no, maybe it was next year.
Well, I just know them two were together. I just remember them two idiots together not making a team. And they had a brotherhood. Hey, we're going to do everything we can to mess up our chance on this team. Let's go. Break. Mm-hmm. And he did it, and we didn't have a team. Yeah.
Oh, no. He was taken so before Jordan Lasley. My bad. He was actually in the fourth round.
Right. And this is a team that says they're all about winning. This is a team that says they're surrounding their quarterback with talent. And we're not trying to hate, but we're just trying to bring out the facts. Any other team with a superstar quarterback has been given weapons. They haven't been trying to get them weapons. They're not saying, we're going to go into a season with Bateman as our leading receiver and sprinkle in a little Duvernay, Prochet, and Tylan Wallace and see what happens. It's a waste of season. And we saw what happened. So miss me with that. All right, moving on to the next one, because somehow we made it an hour and 10 minutes, Brodney. I don't know how we did it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brian. Yeah, I really didn't expect this to be in as long.
Yeah, I know. Tanja, no, we're nobody's saying Zay didn't have a good season. We're saying that Zay Flowers is a rookie who went for 800 yards, and he was the only player on the offense, you know, who really showed up in that championship game, and you need more than that.
Thanks. All right, next topic. Let's breeze through this.
Yes, breeze.
Tomorrow night, WNBA draft. Do you think that with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese moving on to the league, do you think this league is picking up interest? Do you think that the draft is going to garner more attention than it normally has in the past?
I think the draft will, yes. And the league has been picking up interest for several years now. The ratings have been going up each year. I think you're going to see a boost with Caitlin Clark coming into the league. And they're putting her on national TV almost every game this year. Mm-hmm. And the Fever have been bad. You know, they had the first pick last year. They got the first pick again this year. But that means they're getting the top talent in college basketball. They drafted Aaliyah Boston last year, who was a phenomenal player. They're getting Caitlin Clark this year. They had an Alyssa Smith. So they have a great young core. Now it's kind of just about waiting for them to grow together. I think that as long as she continues to play the way she's been playing, mm-hmm. that fan base is going to follow Clark.
I believe so as well. And I'm just glad that they're finally getting there, just doing, like you said, it's been on a rise recently, but I just think with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese coming into the league, that sort of bird magic combination, even though Angel Reese is probably not going in the top five, this is going to bring more attention and more excitement, because every hero needs a villain. And I think that Angel Reese is Caitlin Clark's villain, so to speak, and it's going to bring a lot more interest. What you read? I'm sorry. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, I ain't have a lot to say. I just want to bring some attention to WNBA. Shout out to them, because I don't think a lot of people are actually covering them.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wanted to shout out them. All right, last topic. And this should be a real quick one.
Okay. Like if you're bored, throw it on, sure, whatever. But it's a developmental league for players who aren't good enough to be in the NFL.
Right.
To give some perspective, Matt Corral started the opener for one of these teams, the championship team. The team has won the past two championships, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's not a good league. But it is great that it exists, so those guys can go out there and continue to develop and play and everything, and then coaches can develop in that league as well. And hopefully, you know, it'll provide a little more to the NFL than just going out and saying, hey, you know, it's week 15. I'm just going to grab somebody who's off the couch who I don't know if they're even in shape or been, you know, want to continue their career or whatever. Like, at least these guys are actively playing and still trying to get better.
Okay. I may check it out. You know, I saw a part of a game. It was like this quarterback dropped back. And I'm not even making this up. He dropped back seven times. He came to the game, dropped back seven times. Out of the seven dropbacks, he got sacked four times, mm-hmm. hit six times, and made one completion. And I'm like, yo, your line does not like you, sir.
Yeah.
This league can't be this
good. It's not a good league.
Celebrate. I don't even know what that's for. I don't know what that's why I just saw balloons pop. I'm like, celebrate.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything, bro. Like, these weird animations just be popping up. This is why I might have to move the. It may be something with OBS, but where would it come from, though? Like, if I give a thumbs up,
it'll has to be connected up. To something. Yeah, maybe something subscribed or something.
Not necessarily, because sometimes when I give a thumbs up, I'll get a thumbs up. I know when Yolanda does this on hers, like, hearts pop up. So it has to be something with software or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weird stuff, bro. Weird stuff.
Should get you over on the Evie Mux.
I am, but you know, somebody hasn't done my scenes for me. So.
Who doesn't? Dre ain't do your scenes?
It's tough. Rodney.
I told you I would do it, and then you never invited me over there or anything. The only link you sent me is StreamYard, so we can come here and do this. And I'm just like, I don't even want to do that. But
my bad. It's been an uninspiring week. Like,
yeah.
I had so many videos to do, and I didn't do them.
That's all right. Everybody needs a break.
But I'm back though. Somehow cutting the grass and just that physical labor just did something to me. Now I got all this energy and I'm raring to go until I probably have to sit down and edit.
Maiming all them little plants out there. All they were trying to do was grow.
Now, a lot of them were weeds.
They're just trying to grow too.
They were.
Just because somebody, when you were little, told you that those were bad plants and the other plants are good plants, doesn't mean it's okay for you to go out there and kill them. And I thought that you being a vegan would be sensitive to that. But I guess not.
I guess not. And also, I need to go because I had my beef stir fry waiting
on me. You got no goddamn beef, nothing.
It's beef stir fry. What do you mean?
There's no beef in it, so it can't be beef stir fry.
You put some A1 sauce on it. It is like, you know.
Well, that's the wrong thing.
Okay. I mean, they can sign up. Who? I would rather have Ayuk, personally. Both of them are amazing players, but I want the route runner. I want the dude that when your offensive coordinator can't scheme you open, you don't just rely on speed because they're fast guys on defense. This dude can get open. And like I said, he's gotten better every single season. Every season. So,
so you need to cut back or get a new supplier.
Huh?
He says he prefers to do other things with his grass. And I say he needs to cut back or get a new supplier.
No problem, BP. Yeah. So, you know, I just want, even if it fails, I just want them to surround Lamar or try to surround Lamar with talent. I don't want them to go out here in this upcoming draft and say, we drafted two receivers in the fifth round. We're trying to do for him. Because that's all I'll let you know. Some of these guys on network say is they put in the most time and the most effort, the most picks in getting Lamar talent around him. But they can't, they have not. It's like me saying, all right, I'm going to fix up my driveway. Like I'm going to repair my driveway. And I go around and get the neighborhood kids to come help me. Now I've rounded up 20 of them little buggers, but they're 7 to 12 years old. I got a lot to help, but what help are they really giving me? Being that they can't work certain machines and they don't know what they're doing. But I got them numbers wise. I brought them in. So how can somebody get mad at me saying I didn't try? And I think that's how this is with the Ravens. They're bringing in bodies because.
Right. The reality is, yeah, you've drafted three receivers in the first round. One of them was a rookie last year and he played pretty well. One of them in Bateman hasn't panned out. And the other one plays for the Chiefs.
Facts. So listen, when you leave here, because we're about to get up out of here. What's going on, Ron? That's right. Build that O-line first. When you leave here, you know, just hit the little icon and go check out the EDC video. It's a short. It's 45 seconds. I guarantee you, if you need a laugh for today, it's going to entertain you because it entertained me. And I'm apologizing right now to anybody that may get offended. I apologize for the Odell Beckham part. Luckily, it's in short form. If you could see the actual picture, you'd be like, damn. But it was no diss to him. It was just that when that part came up, I just felt like he was the best person to put in that situation.
I mean, sometimes you create the art and sometimes you're just a conduit.
Right. Sometimes it just flew through me. And then with the three, it had to have been those three. I had to put those three together. Like it had to be those three. Couldn't have been anybody else. But yeah, I'm gonna give you this one, Ron. Go O's. Till I see some postseason success, I'm not gonna believe it. But listen, we've been in here an hour and 19 minutes. There's still 80 people in here. Woo! Like, I'm not understanding because I remember the days when I would get 80 people in here, and 10 minutes in, it'd be 12. But for y'all to sit there and rock out with us for this entire time, I appreciate it. I am blessed in. Hey, what more can I say other than thank you? But if you wish to support the channel even further, make sure you like and subscribe to the channel. Share it with your friends. Let's help push this video on a YouTube algorithm to help me get up there. Because I think that right now I am 31 subscribers away from 4,000. 31. Now, I know out of the 72 people, because it just dropped 8 people, and they're like, we don't want to hear this. But I know out of the 72, all 72 of y'all ain't subscribed. So just please subscribe. Help me get the 4,000. Also, Rodney, let them know where they can find you and help you guys.
I think it's kind of messed up for people to be in there and they hear you say, you know, please subscribe, and they're in there every week and they're like, nah. Nah, I'm not going to. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. Appreciate I'm not going to do it. I know the button's right there, but no. I don't like that. That's all right, though.
So, yeah, Brandon, let me know what you got going on where they can find you. Yeah, 17 days a week that you're streaming.
You can find me over on Lunch Break Hot Take every Wednesday evening, 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Follow that up with the Overtime Show for patrons. You can find me here. On Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for any given Sunday. Is that good? Faster? Slower? What do you need? All right. So you find me on Monday.
Do you?
Find me on Monday over on Six Italian Films with Jose, with Hendo, with OTR Mike, with Chris Just Joking, with Coach for the Ravens Roundup. You can find me on Tuesday evenings on Suge Knight 323 at 9:45 p.m. Eastern Time for the Steel Conspiracy. Don't do it. You can find me sometimes on Ring Kings podcast, like potentially this coming Saturday.
Let's go.
After the Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia fight.
Let's go.
So that's about it. It's way too much.
It is. We stream way too much. We stream like 4 or 5 days a week. It's going
to
be a bit.
Large Reginald? It's okay for you to stream too.
Right.
It's okay for you to jump on and stream.
Right. You and your cohort.
Right. Y'all take it to 2 hours and keep on running.
Keep it pushing. How about that? But listen. Make sure you go over there, Lunch Break Hot Take. Subscribe. On the road to 2,000. Really, really close. Of the 68 people that are still in here, it takes about a second. Just go on over there. I'll put a link in the description. Let's get them to 2,000. They really deserve this. If it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here right now.
That's false, yeah. But thank you. Appreciate it.
I wouldn't be here right now. Like, y'all are the ones that pushed me into doing this. I was doing secret stuff.
I don't think anybody pushed you, sir. Okay.
Y'all pushy.
I'm not going to. I will not abide that. I would not tell anyone to do this.
Okay. Y'all showed about me. Like, I walk past y'all.
I'm like, more competition for me.
This is not competition. Like, YouTube is not a competition. No,
I'm saying, like, if I tell a bunch of other people to go start streaming, then it's just more competition for me and the algorithm.
It's really not, because, you know, I like to tend to think that people choose a variety of people just to get different and varying opinions.
No. People like to have their beliefs confirmed. And confirmation bias.
You might be right, because it was aggressive, Ron. Like, you weren't there during those conversations. It was very aggressive.
Ron was right here.
And I'm like,
He was on YouTube for about 6 weeks before anyone knew.
This is facts. No, I'm sorry. I was doing terrible YouTube for 6 weeks because they were terrible.
False.
Horrible.
False.
Terrible. But yes, you know, I mean, it's not. My thing is, and even when I was really a really, 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 really small channel, I'm about pushing everybody. Like, I'm about, hey, I don't care if you love me or you hate me, go out and check out this guy. Go out and see what this guy has to say, because everybody has a different perspective on things going on, and you may not agree with us, but it may bring you to a conclusion of, oh, I didn't think about it like that. That's one way to look at it, because once again, these are all opinions. Mm-hmm. Nothing that we say here is fact, and we're like, oh, this is what they need to do. This is how they need to run it. This is just things that we see. My perspective is a lot different from yours. And I say, go out there and look at everybody. See what everybody has to say. It doesn't hurt to say, especially if you have time, to just take a look and take a listen to some of these Ravens YouTubers. But I'm not going to lie to you. Some of these people are god awful. Awful. But I still support them anyway. And you should too. Like, I just feel like everybody needs support. I don't care how good you are. I don't think that I'm good. So that's, yeah. It is what it is. But listen, if you want to support this channel further, make sure to go to patreon.com/ROUG. Join and become a patron today. Make sure you get in before we do our second tour of Raven Stadium. I know I should have put that video out of the tour last week, but like I said, I just was not as, after I came back from that, I was drained mentally and I was not inspired. So
not inspired, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Yeah,
it
just... No, Reg, I'm going to ask him for names once we go off the air. And if you want to be privy to that kind of stuff, head to patreon.com/ROUG and you can find out who the terrible YouTubers are as well.
I have a bunch of them. And I don't mean terrible. I don't mean terrible as in they're
walking it back.
No. I don't mean terrible as in their views are terrible.
Nobody thought that. Nobody thought that's what you meant.
I saw this guy the other day. I'm not going to hold you. I saw this guy the other day. And I mean, I watched the whole video because, like I said, I support everybody. But the dude was just like, hey, Baltimore Ravens. Yeah. And I'm like, bruh, more power to you. You had the courage to get on camera and do it.
You came up
and had the courage to do it. So more power to you. But like I said, just in all jokes aside, support everybody. Support all your Ravens YouTubers because I think we are the only community, and I'm not for certain that it's 100%. We are the only community that doesn't have a Ravens YouTuber that's over 100,000. That's predominantly all Ravens. We don't have one that's over 100,000. That's a shame because I can see other fan bases and they have multiples. Yeah. They have 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000, and we don't have one.
Maybe if y'all will win something, there'll be more Ravens fans and you can get somebody there. Right? Do you think? Is that maybe possible?
No. Because I'm going to tell you what. No. Yes, sometimes it does take hard to start. It takes a lot to be exposed to the world and have people judge you and just come at you all the time. It does. And like I said, shout out to all of them. But I was kidding. But the dude was not really good. But it takes time to build up. But the Arizona Cardinals, not a good team. Never won a Super Bowl, and their fans are die hard, and they follow their YouTube.
They don't have anything else. It's a desert.
Diamondbacks, Suns. They can play rattlesnakes, scorpions.
They're even about to lose their hockey team.
The Coyotes.
Yeah.
Okay. Who else is very passionate? It's just a lot of them. So my point is, please, if you can, just support all of the Ravens YouTubers that you encounter. Not just me. You don't even have to, you know what I'm saying, like me. Because the less y'all like, the less work I have to do. And that's a fact, Jack. But yes, make sure y'all support everybody. Make sure you also come and check me out on Tuesdays with my man, Mr. Galloway, on Electric Relaxation, talking all things hip-hop.
We're going to be talking to Drake, Rick Ross, Kendrick Lamar, and sometimes J. Cole battle.
This is just what I was about to say, but Brandon took the words right out of my mouth.
Did you see Drake post a text from his mommy?
Did he?
He did.
Listen.
That dude is for children.
Yeah. I don't too much really care for Mr. Lauryn Hill. Like, I know that people think that he's popular and he's it, but Mr. Lauryn Hill to me he's okay. He's entertaining.
Called Rick Ross a racist for calling him a white boy.
Y'all better stop messing with Degrassi. That's how people get hurt.
Who, like Degrassi?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, disgusting. Like Mr. Lauryn Hill is disgusting. Hope he learns from this. Do better, sir. I know you from up north, but hey, we don't really care. But yeah, make sure you come over there to the channel. Check out what we got going on. We're trying to alter some things, do things a little bit differently. We used to be focused on old school, but now we're going to be more well-rounded and do some other things. So check us out. Make sure you come back here. Check me out tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Ravens Roundtable with the fellas. Tuesday night, Electric Relaxation. Suge Knight 323 with a steel claw. Wednesday, Lunch Break Hot Take. Also,
every time you do that, I'm taking one show off.
I'm sorry. You already did it. Deep Cover, I think, is coming out with something next week, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know, honestly. I know Chris has been doing videos with Coach, draft videos. So if you're interested in seeing who the Ravens may pick, you need to definitely hit up those videos. I know he was on with, I can't remember his name now. I mean, his name is Jason, but I can't remember his name.
I'm like, is it somebody I don't know?
No. I'm sorry. I'm blanking on the name, and I apologize.
That is terrible.
It is terrible, and I feel bad because now it makes me feel old when that happened. Huddle It Up Films. There it is. I didn't remember old. It. I looked it up. I feel bad.
Now we know you looked it up. We saw you. You can check
out Chris Just Joking over there as well. But I'm not sure if Deep Cover is putting out anything. I know that they are all going to be joining us over on the Ravens Roundup for draft coverage next week.
Premium draft coverage.
Yes.
You don't want to miss that. You don't want to miss it because we got something special. And we put a different spin on it because it's not all about football. We're not going to sit there and be like, okay, guys, coming into the number three position, they're looking for an offensive tackle. Like, we're going to give you some entertainment, or they're going to give you some entertainment, because I'm just setting myself up for failure because I know what's going to happen. One of two things is going to happen on draft night. A, the Ravens are going to draft a cornerback or defensive end. Or B, they're going to trade back. One of those two things.
You know, nothing infuriates me more than a team you've been waiting for all night gets on the clock and says, come back tomorrow. We're not picking tonight.
We're not doing it
it's
tonight.
The worst. That's why I appreciate my Panthers for, you know, setting that number one overall pick on fire a year ago. So I had no expectations for night one.
I mean, you could just look and see what you could have had. I mean, that would be over after the first pick. So,
yeah. Oh no, that wouldn't be over after the first pick. It would, in fact, be 32 guys they could have had. Because anybody in the first round.
I mean, I'm saying if they hadn't taken Bryce Young last year, they could have took Caleb Williams this year.
Bryce Young was
he was the right pick. So you prefer him over Caleb Williams?
Yeah. No, I prefer him. I'm not the biggest Caleb Williams fan, and I can't put my finger on why. But when I watch him, I'm like, that's a really good college quarterback, and I don't see the NFL thing with him, but.
Right.
You know, I hope it works out for him. I really do. Like him, but I don't know.
Thanks. And that to me was why I thought that the Chicago Bears took a little extra time in trading Justin Fields, because they weren't for certain if he was going to be that guy. But it is something about him. Like, he's a great college quarterback, and he may be a decent pro QB. But it's just something about it that I'm like, you didn't think that he's going to come in. And they've loaded Chicago up with offensive talent. This is another team. You have a team like Chicago, a franchise that has never had a 4,000-yard passer ever, who has been offensively deficient for many seasons. They put this team around a rookie that they're bringing into the NFL. We have an established two-time MVP, and we're trying to nickel and dime and piece together portions of receivers and offensive linemen to put around them and hope we're going to go win.
They got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet. They went and they signed DeAndre Swift. And after they take Caleb Williams, they still have another top 10 pick. They want to grab another receiver or an old lineman or whatever it may be.
They don't get Odunze.
Possibly.
Right. Neighbor's going to be gone by then.
I kind of feel like Odunze is going to go before him.
You think so? They saying that Neighbor's might be number one.
That's what I'm feeling.
They say he may go over Marvin Harrison.
He ain't going over Marvin. Unless somebody trying to get fired. Like, on the spot.
It's Arizona we talking about.
That's facts. Arizona, no, but Arizona's going to trade back and draft a DN that they don't know how to use. That's kind of their fetish. Drafting edge rushers who they then do not ask to rush the quarterback.
Put them in other positions, then trade them.
Isaiah Simmons can play anywhere. Guess what? We're going to play him everywhere.
Facts. And then trade him to the Giants because he can't play because we never gave him position. So, yeah. Make sure you check us out next Thursday, NFL Draft. It's going to be very entertaining. And come back here tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Sip to tally. Oh, we got a question from Ron. Should we trade up to get the best?
No, man. Moment? Don't stop taking questions. It's time to go. No offense.
This is the last one.
I don't think you should trade up because I don't think that they're going to be willing to trade up far enough to get, you know, one of the elite prospects. And the guys that you get at 30 are going to be very similar to the guys that you get, you know, 21. 15 to 20 and, you know, wherever they're. It's just, it's a matter of who you know, the Ravens like the most, obviously. But unless you're willing to give up everything to get into the top and get, you know, make sure you get the guy. I mean, and they need 3 starting offensive linemen, so no.
This is true. But we don't need all 9 picks, though.
No, but they need 3 starting offensive linemen, and Eric DaCosta is not going to go 3 for 3.
This is true. Yeah.
Because again, it's not 3 guys who turn into good players. They need 3 people who can play right now.
Right now. But we got Andrew Voorhees.
God damn it, Osman. You heard him say it was the last question. I know you heard that.
Osman wants to know who. Listen.
Who can y'all trade to get a first round pick? Man.
Nobody. Listen, I mean, we overestimate.
Maybe
Marlowe?
No, nobody going to give you a first for Marlowe. You know, they could probably get a first for Kyle Hamilton.
Oh, no. They could definitely get a first for Kyle Hamilton.
And maybe Matabike. Maybe. But I would tend to think not.
Yeah, there's nobody that we could. There's nobody we could put on a trade block that would net us a first round pick. I think we overestimate our players because I saw some people a couple months back talking about, man, we need to trade Tyler Huntley for a second round pick. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, the hell would make you think we'd get in a second round? What would make you think we'd get a 4th round pick for Tyler Huntley? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, we should trade Devin Duvernay and get a second and a third. For who? For what? For why? I mean, most definitely, but those are 2 players we're not going to trade. We don't need to trade either of them. Lamar would net several first-round picks.
Yeah.
Several. And I think the Kyle would get you can get a first and a second, and maybe a 5th.
I don't even think you get a first and a second for him. Like, the league does not value safeties the way Baltimore does.
But some teams value Baltimore's players.
And not like that, though. Like, you got to remember, like, you know, Kyle Hamilton, yeah, they took him at 14. But the next safety didn't go until the second round, right? You know, and that guy's pretty good.
That's true.
Like, the league does not draft safeties that high.
It's just the Ravens.
Yeah.
But we got a top 5 pick at 14.
No, right. What you got at 14 was a top 35 pick, but he's very good. He's very, 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 very good. So,
yes. All right, we get out of here for real. Somehow this is turning into a 2-hour stream. We're not having none of that. Listen, we don't know what they do behind closed doors. Listen, sometime this week, we'll see something right before the draft that the Ravens signed Justin Simmons to play out of position on a defense that we don't know until Marcus Williams goes down. We have nothing to talk about, bro.
Don't boist a minute, and we'll send you the link.
Right. And listen, it's Sunday night. We're all out of basketball. We're all out of football. Red, you can start up a stream right now. We all can just transition right over to your stream, sir. San Francisco don't have a cap room to do that.
I don't think they would do it anyway. I mean, they're pretty well stacked on the D-line.
Right. Our players aren't as coveted as you think they are.
Right. And listen. Like, they've got all the defensive players that you wish you had, and they've got better offensive players.
Right. All right, we're going to see what they do next season, though. Yeah. I mean, John Lynch is going to make it happen, but everybody's excuse now is, well, you know, they got Purdy on a rookie deal. We had Lamar on a rookie deal. We didn't do anything close to that. Yeah. We went defensive. It was like, we can't pay everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We could have traded for CMC. Could you imagine Christian McCaffrey and Lamar in the same backfield? All right, we gone now because now I'm depressed.
Yeah, good.
Later.